I can hold my beer as good as any man, and I'll dance and sing as long as I can.
Hello, you're listening to Rhythm and Brews, the monthly podcast where we masterfully match,
I like it,
beers with music. You have the pleasure of being with Luke and Andrew alone for episode 5 in my boudoir.
It is a boudoir. There's a bed in here.
There's a bed. It's taking up most of the room. But anyway, welcome back for episode 5.
I know.
This is exciting.
March 2017.
How did we get this far in?
I don't know.
Nobody shut us down yet.
That's because no one can. It's the power of the internet. If Donald Trump can say what the hell he likes, I think we can.
Exactly. So for those who are new to listening to us, once again, Andrew, do you want to explain the concept?
Will I get it right this time?
To yeah.
Satisfaction.
Okay. You probably won't.
So the theory being that there is a link between the various senses and taste, most notably oral. Oral or aural? How do you pronounce it?
Oral.
Aural. So how you taste and what you taste can be affected by what you're listening to as you eat, as you drink. And so the theory being that by matching a well-picked tune to a beer, you can make it taste better. Enhanced? What's the word I'm supposed to use?
You got it wrong again, Andrew. Okay.
Enhanced.
It's supposed to enhance some of the flavours, and that could be enhancing the good flavours or the bad flavours. It's bringing them out more.
Okay, so you would pick a tune to make it taste more bitter, if it was a particularly bitter beer?
If you wanted to, you could, conversely, pick something that would sweeten the beer up, take some of the bitterness out. But as we discovered last episode, it's not very fun to do.
What are you controversially trying to pick a song that ran against the taste of the beer?
Look at us, referencing past episodes. Whoa, now you're going to have to go back and listen to episodes 1 to 4. So as we mentioned, you are here with Luke and Andrew, and this month we have the special absent guest in the whatever. Special absent guest. So we've picked 4 Tickety Brew beers this month. But before we get on to the beers, shall we just do a bit of a shout out for our beer lives outside of this podcast? So we I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
I don't know where you're going with this.
No. So 2 Fridays ago, or actually it's going to be longer than that when this actually comes out.
Yeah.
At the end of February, we went down to Craft Beer Rising, yes. Which was, I think that was my first proper big craft beer festival.
Yeah, I think probably mine. I think I've got experience of the various sort of camera organized festivals with lots of cask beers. So this was mostly keg, although
less beers, bellies and suspenders this one.
Don't fall into that sad stereotype.
Suspenders, I mean braces.
You do. Now I've got visions of
We won't bore everybody with our "it was really good and we got really drunk," but we did. I wondered did you have any particular favourites you wanted to shout out?
Favourites. I mean, I enjoyed it. I'm going to say that. You said we weren't going to say we enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. It didn't feel too crowded. The music was too loud, but then I'm old.
Oh, you're such an old, grumpy man. Okay,
but genuinely, if you want to have a chat with someone about the beer, so everyone on the stalls was more than willing and wanted to talk about the beers that they had there, and yet having conversations was tricky at times. So that's my one criticism. Otherwise, I thought it was less crowded than I was expecting. You know, you could walk straight up to most of the stalls and get beers fairly quickly.
Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad you give it a thumbs up.
No big cues, was that? So who did I like? My beer that I really enjoyed the most was the Adams Both Barrels.
Ah, was this the one that you actually went back at the end to get more bottles?
Yes. So I had a cheeky taste on the stall and had a chat with them about it. And actually, I really enjoyed the Adams Clementine Pale Ale. That was really good as well. But the Both Barrels is awesome beer. So I don't know if you've ever had Pedro Jimenez Sherry. It's like a rich, dark, fruity drink. And that's exactly what that beer was like. It's full of raisins and cherries. And it was lovely.
Was it full of sherry?
No.
Was it just a sherry? Andrew?
I think it's actually their broadside beer that's been aged in two sets of barrels. Hence the name. But it was lovely.
My standout, I have to say, was two beers.
Okay.
So I'm going to cheat, but they're from the same brewery. So the find for me for the whole thing was Sonnet 43, who are a little Durham-based brewery.
Yep.
Who I think they were saying that they only really... most of their wares go out to the local Durham sort of area.
I think that's probably true of most local breweries. Yeah. They don't get down to us in our metropolitan bubble a lot of the time. Which was another good reason, which I really liked about Craft Beer Eyes, is you did get to try beers you were never going to get to try otherwise.
Yeah, exactly. It was great. But I had two of their beers, The Raven and I think it was called Crusader, which are two very lovely dark beers. One was a coconut...
what was it?
Coconut porter?
Go on, say it is.
I think it was a coconut porter, and then the other one was the it was the stout, but it was a very special, like caramelly, chocolatey, beautiful. It was like velvet. It was like drinking velvet. It was gorgeous. That was the Raven.
Okay.
But anyway, they're all based on Mary Wollstonecraft's poems.
You're making it up now. We probably have to edit this out because I suspect it's wrong.
Yeah, it's probably wrong. It's okay. I'm sure they'll get on Twitter and correct us.
But shout out to Luke, who spent time talking to us about all the beers.
And their distillery that they're opening up soon.
Yeah.
Or have already opened. So they've started to bash some stuff out. So yeah, so that was a top evening. I think we'll be down at what's the next event that we have coming up?
It's not till Beavertown Extravaganza in September, I think.
Okay.
It's a long way off.
It's quite a while. So if anybody wants to invite us down to a craft beer festival between now and November. shall we get on to the beers then?
Yeah, okay. So we've got four beers from the same brewer this time.
Yep.
All Tickety Brew, based in Stalybridge in Manchester.
Sure.
Yeah.
I know the area very well. I've never been to Manchester.
Oh, well, I think it's quite nice to do non-London beers. You don't often get an opportunity to taste some of these beers from other parts of the country.
You know what?
What?
I think every beer we've done has been a non-London... I think that we've maybe done two London beers.
Have we?
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
You're bullshitting.
Okay.
Anyway, go on.
So...
tell me a bit more about Tickety Brew.
I think their thing is Belgian yeast.
Okay.
That's their oeuvre.
Everybody loves a good Belgian yeast.
Yeah, so that's how they got their inspiration initially, at least, anyway. But I think they're branching out a little bit, trying different yeasts now. But the big thing was using Belgian yeasts to make beer.
Okay, good.
We've got four going up in strength.
Cool, so what are we starting with?
We are going to start with, and I'm quite thirsty now, jasmine green tea. A light ale with jasmine green tea, full of delicate flavour, it says on the bottle.
Okay.
You're going to open it? Open it, I need a drink.
Okay, so let's get these things over, because everybody needs a bit of...
oh, yeah, got it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So so this one was my one to try. It's a, as you said, it's a 4%.
Yep.
It pours a very, very nice light straw colour. Very light straw colour.
Yeah.
These are all bottle conditioned as well, so...
nice fizz.
I believe. Yeah, quite a lively beer. Quite a lively beer. Shall I read my notes?
Yeah, go on.
Because I like reading my notes. So...
got all the sediment, dude.
Yeah, that's what I like. I like a bit of sediment.
Having probably said it was bottle conditioned, you just tipped all that cack out into
it
the
says
glass.
So. It says it on the thing. If you like a bit of sediment, might as well just pour the entire thing out. This... I would even go so far as to say this doesn't really have a nose. It's like...
no.
It's super delicate. Quite floral. And so, okay, so I'm just gonna verbatim read my notes here, especially because you're currently trying it. So I said...
I am, sorry. Yeah.
Almost got the smell of Saison about it.
Do you not say that for every beer?
Take a drink. First hit. This tastes like a bloody Saison. the jasmine and the green tea sort of, you can like the jazz that you can kind of start to get them through the taste.
Oh, I'm struggling.
If they were in a bloody Saison, because it tastes like a Saison. It does not taste like a pale ale. It tastes like a Saison.
It's nice and refreshing.
So, slightest bit of bitter at the back on the tongue.
Yep.
but it slides down like an oiled up wrestler.
Oh, that's not a nice description.
Much what like a Saison.
You're really into your Saisons, aren't you?
No, I'm not a big fan of Saisons, actually, but this to me kind of, so as you kind of, as I reckon as you keep sipping it, it's got a little bit more of the, it's almost like a cross between a Saison and a Pils. Like, it's got that lagery lightness.
Okay, maybe. Is that not just the pale ale?
And my notes were, I feel duped.
Duped? What were you expecting?
I was expecting, because it said ale and it was pale, that I'd get hit in the face with some hops.
And yeah, it's not like a...
It would be super tea.
American pale ale, is it?
Actually, you know what?
I mean, I'm not getting...
Because each one of these is going to be different. But then again, I might just be tasting the sediment. But my one, this tastes bitterer than the one that I had for the tester.
Okay. I think this is perfectly decent pale ale.
It's nice. It's light as all heck, though.
Yeah.
Heck. Did I just say heck?
Yep.
Sorry, listeners. I meant light as fuck.
And then there goes our rating.
What's
I deliberately didn't pick a song later on that had swear words in because I thought, no, let's appeal to the family audience. The family beer drinkers out there. All those underage kids.
Let's appeal to all those 8-year-old beer drinkers. Okay. I don't know. What do you reckon, Andrew? Am I wrong?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, to me, it just tastes like a nice pale ale. I'm not... So I'll take your word for it if you're picking up that it tastes like a Saison.
It tastes like a bloody Saison. It's got the same kind of florally sort of smoothness to it. You know how a Saison typically has that real kind of almost, I don't know, it's hard to say. It's like it's almost a chemically smoothness to it, but it's not chemically. It's like a I don't know. I don't know. This is my
4%. This is. And it's nice enough, and it's a good session beer, isn't it? I mean, it's like you say, it's. I'm wondering about the jasmine green tea that we're supposed to be picking up here. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I have the same issue when I have things like Earl Grey IPAs and stuff like that. I don't necessarily get much of the hit of it.
So it's interesting. So this has both jasmine green tea pearls they use, like pearl tea.
What is pearl tea?
It's what all the people who are obsessed with like manga culture and stuff. I think, I don't know if they're Japanese or Korean.
Right.
Pearl tea is like a drink that you get and it's got little bubbles in
bubble
it.
Bubble tea?
Bubble tea. Okay. Yeah, pearl tea.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Okay. It's like tapioca, isn't it?
I don't bloody know.
Okay, right.
And then it's got lemon rind in it as well, but I can't really get the lemon rind coming through there. There's not much citrus there. It's way too floral.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a delicate floralness.
Okay.
Anyway.
So what were you going for when you were trying to match a song to this?
So music-wise, let's see. So I said this has absolutely no punch from a sound perspective, right?
Oh, okay.
It's smooth. But it's light. It's not lounge music.
Oh.
Right?
You don't equate lightness with lounge music.
No, because lounge music has a bit of a... It's got a bit of... I don't know. There's something to it that... Okay. Anyway.
So, yeah, carry on. I'm interrupting you as you're in full flow.
Something that verges on deep house.
What?
But without the house or...
So just deep.
Or the deepness.
like a deep heat.
Maybe something like Bon Iver...
Right.
But maybe a bit more on the manufactured side of pop.
God, you're all over the place.
But
now.
Maybe
did
not.
Did you just...
I said a bit more electronic.
Right, okay.
A bit more electronic.
Keep going. What are you building up to?
So I went searching, right?
Yeah.
And I found a band that I've heard of but never listened to before that
Ooh.
Perfectly matched this, which is Clock Opera.
I love Clock Opera.
Ah! Okay, so I have picked a song that to me...
You know, they had a gig this week.
No.
Oh, last week.
There you go.
Corsica Studios, they played. I should have gone. They're excellent live. They've got a new album out.
That was the most rubbish tangent I've ever heard. So the song I've gone for is Whippoorwill.
Okay, I probably don't recognise it.
Sure.
Is that a new one?
Don't know.
Okay.
It's by the band Clock Opera.
It's a great word. I love that.
It's great. Whippoorwill, all one word.
Yep.
So to me, this it makes the beer float. It's like,
ooh, okay,
kind of gives it this ethereal kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
It's I think this accompanies the beer quite well. So let's play the song. So this is Clock Opera.
Yes.
With Whippoorwill.
There's a hole in the house no fairground road will fill. No time can kill since you went away. And if I don't climb it, maybe no one will. I could hide until there's nothing left to say. But I won't let it go. There's a hole in the house no holiday can change. No wood can frame since you went away. Like a conversation scrubbed out on the page. On an unlit stage, nothing left to say.
That was Clock Opera with Whippoorwill, which we found out is a bird.
Yeah.
Much like this beer.
Is a bird?
It's a bird. Is that a plane?
See, I'm going to be controversial. I'm going to say that was a good accompaniment to that beer, as in I get what you were doing in terms of lightness and airiness and pleasantness and inoffensiveness even. So if you were doing this beer as a personality, as a tune, that's a good match. But I'm not sure it was bringing it out in terms of flavour, enhancing the flavour in any way.
You're just being a dick now.
Oh, look.
Look at you, being a dick. Massive.
No.
Massive dick. Huge.
Is there more of this beer left? Have we drunk it all?
I don't know. No, I think that's it. You can have some sediment. Okay, well, that's... You know what, Andrew? It's okay. You're entitled to your opinion.
So I was sipping, that as you were playing.
You're allowed to have your opinion, even though it's wrong.
Okay. That's a good thing about opinions, isn't it? They're never right or wrong.
Everyone has them, just like arseholes. That's not how it goes. I don't know.
Yeah, that is.
And you know what? Some people don't have arseholes, so I think that's quite...
Who?
they won't last long.
No, they won't. No, they won't.
They might not have an arse. I'm just saying.
You're just saying, okay, in this freakish world of non-arsehole people.
In the land of of no arseholes, the one arsehole.
Are we having a competition about how many times we can say that word?
Arsehole.
Yes.
Okay.
I think we just lost everyone that was listening.
So you've given that a thumbs down.
You've given it like a
wavering thumb in the middle.
But I really like Clock Opera, so good choice.
Cheers for that. That's my spirits have been buoyed.
Oh, are we on to the next beer?
I think we might.
Do you want to justify it a little bit more? No, let's move on to the next one. Let's crack on with these beers.
Like a whip, ready?
I think if we put these bottles to one side,
okay,
in case we knock them over and have an accident.
Yep. You're going to ruin all my very, very expensive recording
electronic
equipment.
Electronic equipment, yep.
Sharpie pens and...
and, yeah. That's
$10 mixer. okay, cool. So what is beer number two, Andrew? Oh, wait. Do we need to... Wait, let's Yes, Holly, who did the voice. Beer number two, indeed.
Okay.
So what is beer number two?
Oh, I better get it out of the bag. This is how prepared we are.
Jesus, that's good. That's good.
It's a rose wheat beer.
Ah, okay.
4.7%.
4.7, nice.
Let me just get it out of the bag.
Look at this. This is some solid podcasting, Andrew.
There we go. That's
rose
your one.
Wheat beer.
Rose wheat beer.
Good.
Read the label out.
Okay, so this is a refreshing rose wheat beer with a spicy kick.
Yep.
From Waterloo Court, Manchester. So they say about it, proving that the hop needn't be the only flower used in brewing.
Yep.
You'll notice the unique aroma of roses as you pour this beer. This is balanced by a subtle kick of fresh ginger.
Yep.
So, shall we...
crack it?
Oh, yeah.
Go on, do you get a smell off of that straight away?
Yeah, I get a bit of a whiff of that. So I can smell the rose. I can smell the rose from the bottle. But let's see, they said when I pour it.
It's there, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, actually... You know what? Yep, there's a bit of... bit of rose in there, and look, we even managed to get. I think we've managed to get in at least a minute of sniffing so far into this podcast.
But this beer benefits from the sniff.
Oh god, that's good.
It's definitely there.
So before we get on to the actual taste of this, are you a fan of wheat beers, or do you think that they are the devil's work?
No, they're really nice. What's wrong with wheat beers? Do you not like them? What's wrong with wheat beers?
They're like overly religious little sister of beer.
Okay, so when you were growing up in Australia, do they have wheat beers out there or not?
I think I had my first wheat beer possibly at like a Belgian beer cafe or something.
Okay,
when I was about 18, maybe 17. So no, they weren't big, I have to say. This is okay. So but you know what, like, okay, so first off, because I'm doing the notes for this one,
slightly hazy.
It's like slightly hazy water. This is like the lightest looking. It's like a slightly pink looking.
Do you think it is pink? I'm just wondering if there's a slight hue to it, and I don't know if...
Or is that because I'm holding it in front of a pink
picture?
Yeah, I think that possibly could be it. But it is
very pale.
Light as anything. Like, that is proper pale. It's like a nice wheat beer. Little bit of residue from the head. What are your notes?
What are my notes? Oh, where are my notes? There they are. You've got my notes. So I really like this. It is floral. It's got an obvious smell and taste of rose. You taste it.
Yep.
But the thing I like, I think when I've had herbally, florally beers, or any food for that matter, if you push it too far, it ends up tasting soapy.
it tastes a bit like toilet freshener. Yeah.
You get a sense of what you're actually tasting is like soap, and this avoids that because it is quite subtle. One thing I would say, I'm not picking up any ginger in this. there's supposed to be a hint of ginger, and if it is, it's like a homeopathic hint of ginger because it's not there.
it once glanced at ginger across the room.
So, I mean, I'm not sure. Maybe it is. Maybe there's something, there's a combination going on there that's enhancing the rose, but I'm not picking ginger.
You know what? As soon as you said it, totally tasted it.
Really? Yeah. No, you're not.
It's in there.
Really?
I got the slightest hint of ginger, yeah. Ooh. You know what? This is actually really nice.
You're a contrarian, you know that.
You know, so I used the word delicate before.
Yeah, for your previous beer.
I would totally use that again with this. This is like properly...
You would.
So the problem, one of the problems I have with some wheat beers is that I sometimes find them a bit cloying.
Oh, they can be mad. I mean, I think I asked you about your experience with wheat beer. My first experience with wheat beer, and I think for a lot of people in the UK, is stuff like Hoegaarden. When that was suddenly on tap in a pub, you'd go, "What is this?" And it's mad juice, and it's just, and they served it in those amazing glasses. that you could seriously club someone over the head with. And I remember drinking pint after pint of that in a pub because you thought, wow, what is this taste? This is bonkers.
My mind is blown!
So that was my first experience of wheat beers.
Wow.
And I suppose it's vaguely reminiscent of that, with not having such the wallop of a Hoegaarden.
It's
definitely a wheat beer.
Yeah.
There is spice in this.
This is like the art house film of wheat beer.
Oh, I like this, and not least because I like Turkish Delight.
So this is a Turkish Delight beer. Okay.
It is. Do you not think of it?
Please don't. You haven't picked the Afternoon Delight, have you?
Oh God, I so should have.
Anyway,
Stalin Garland. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah, that's all. Oh, I should have done. Shouldn't
it's about
I?
Sex, guys.
So no, I didn't pick anything to do with Turkey, or. Although I did run through all the bands with Rose in their name. So Guns N' Roses.
It's totally a Guns N' Roses.
Rose Royce. So I like this because I think the Rose really works. It's not overpowering. It's not too floral that it tastes soapy. And it is a refreshing beer. I like this.
It is. It's good. It's actually, I don't think I've ever tasted anything that would be classed as a session wheat beer.
No, at 4.7 though, you could.
Mm.
And think of this on a lovely summer's day. That's nice.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Mm. Good job.
Sorry.
Tickety brew.
Yeah, I know. Shall I? What notes have I got here? We talked about the colour. We talked about the aroma. So what did I go for? So I was thinking flowers, nature, airy, spacey. And I'm thinking, what chimes all of those? I was thinking, I started to think folkiness. Folkiness to go with this, with a natural sort of vibe, but I thought maybe let's try something quite sort of its time, hippiness vibe to it. No, flower powery essences of flower power with a bit of soul in there as well. Oh, I'm building up to this. Shall I rattle off all the songs I could have done?
No,
because you don't like that bit when I do that. Okay, so I'm sure you've got it all lined up ready.
Yep. Yep,
so I chose, for some obvious and not so obvious reasons, I chose Les Fleurs.
Oh God!
By Minnie Riperton.
You just can't. You can't resist a pun, can you?
It fits. It fits.
Okay. Okay.
Play it and drink the beer and tell me it doesn't fit.
Okay. So Les Fleurs by Minnie Riperton. Lovely.
I love that song. 1972. I think it's very of its time. It's quite, but yeah, obviously there's a pun in the name, Les Fleurs, and yeah, she does reference flowers a lot.
And people kissing her petals.
Yes, kiss my petals.
Sexual.
Man. But that's I love that song anyway, and it did seem to match this. I think it's got obvious echoes of floralness even in the lyrics, but the orchestration, so you've got the strings and you've got the brass in there, bringing out the sweetness in this a bit.
Yeah. I think that was a top choice for that. I think it made the beer taste quite light. Yeah. It sort of made it sing slightly, Andrew.
Oh, there you go.
Made it sing. It was, I mean, by the end of it, I really wanted it to stop. But
the song or the beer?
Both.
Both. Yeah, well, it's quite a short song. So
yeah, no, that was good. Who is? I don't know Minnie.
No, I don't know
Minnie,
much about
Minnie Minison.
Minnie Riperton. You do know her big hit, "Loving You."
"Loving You."
That's it.
Ah,
that's
nice. It. Okay.
But that was that.
Well,
song,
I hope
that
she releases a new album soon.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so
you know she's dead. You're making that joke because you know she's dead.
Yeah, I do know she's dead. So because you told me that during the song. Yeah, yeah. So, magic.
I just wanted to say that because it made you sound as though you thought she's still around.
Just and then somebody would have to break the news to me, and I'd be crying for a week. That was a top choice, Andrew. I think worked really well. Okay. You're right. The strings, it worked especially well in the beginning because it was nice and flowy and lilting and
airy, light beer. You know, I wanted to capture an essence of nature, I suppose, and lightness.
Yep.
Okay.
Good job.
Whoa.
A+.
Thank you very much.
Would listen again. A+. Would listen again. Okay, wow. So shall we move on to beer number three then?
Yeah.
Who's this one by?
What, the brewery?
Yeah.
We know who it's by.
It's by Tickety Brew.
And we are on to beer number three.
Do you know what I have to say? Tickety Brew has one of the most satisfying names to say.
I know.
Tickety Brew, especially because we've discovered since getting some Tickety Brew and doing a bit of research, in that they do have a range of short run beers.
Oh yeah, can we look some of them up in the next song? Tickety Fuse.
Tickety Few.
In the next song we'll look some up because I'm really loving some of the ideas they've got coming up.
Nah, I couldn't be bothered.
No, come on.
And especially, I like the fact that they're not paying us to do this, yet we're doing a great job of marketing their shit.
I love the whole labelling concept as well. That's awesome.
Everything's great. Okay, so do you want to do an empty run?
No, I'm going to drink this. We're not tipping this away. I'll drink it now.
Okay, you drink it all now then. We can edit this bit out.
Okay, or you can keep talking while I...
Talk
about the panel.
I'd like to give a shout out to our listeners. Ooh. So we've had some listener questions.
No, we haven't. I want to give a shout out to Helen.
First question is from Steve in Sydney. And Steve says, Luke, how do you get your voice to sound so luxurious? The answer, Steve, is beer. Is good quality beer.
Do you gargle with beer?
I do. I gargle with beer. I have beer on my cereal in the morning.
Ooh.
Do
you call it beerial?
I will now.
That's like...
Nothing like a bit of a good milk stout on some Cheerios.
Yeah.
That works really well.
One of those flat white breakfast stouts.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really hold down a job. So, beer number three is Tickety Brew's Pale Ale. Very imaginatively named. Where's the... Oh, there it is. Okay, so what it says, a refreshing pale ale with citrus and floral aromas.
So you're expecting this to smell much like a...
Here we go.
An American pale
ale. This is becoming a bit too difficult. There we go. Okay, good. Good. So, yeah. So you're wanting... I'll tell you what I was expecting before I get in here. I was expecting a nice hoppy kick in the teeth because it's pale and everything at the moment that's pale is a nice hoppy kick in the teeth.
Okay, interestingly, it's actually darker than the previous two beers.
So...
it's an ambery...
Tickety Brew do not do things normally, it would seem. So, first off, it is quite a, quite an ambery, you're giving away all my notes.
What, by saying,
So, I actually, I gave this to my good wife, the non-beer drinker, to have a smell of, because I thought it was a really interesting smell, in that it is super delicate and almost floral, which is not what you'd expect from a pale. Anyway, deep amber colour, really delicate bitterness.
Yeah, there's not a lot.
Really delicate bitterness. Like, this was not what I was expecting. And it's got a really full flavour.
Yeah.
It's there's a bit of citrus around the finish, slightly. I've taken a sip. And there's a little man at the back of my throat who just rubs a bit of orange into the throat as it goes past.
That reminds me of a Cure song called A Man Inside My Mouth.
There you go. I have got... This is my notes now. I have no idea what to make of this beer. It's got a sweetness to it, but at the same time, the bitterness makes me think it's dry.
Yeah, so it says on the label here, a perfect balance of bitter and sweet. So you summed that up.
There you go.
Or else you cribbed directly off
the bottle. I didn't crib off the bottle. It doesn't taste like a session, but I could see myself knocking back way too many of these on a summer's day.
It's not a session beer.
Six?
Five and a half?
Five and a half.
5.5%. So it's not a session beer.
It ain't session. And okay, so I had a bit more of a look into it to see, and because I'm getting more and more interested in the different hops and malts that people use to see what the flavours end up in. So they're using Cara and Munich malts.
It says they've got malted wheat in here as well.
That's
interesting. Gives it a wheat for the mouth feel.
I didn't read that bit. Ooh. There you go. But Munich and Cara malts, very typical British ale.
This is nice.
Kind of malts. So that to me gives it that fullness, but they match them with American hops.
Okay.
So it's like the bitterness sort of balances out the more sort of caramelly malt.
Yeah, I think I'm picking that up. It's
super weird. It's like, and also interestingly, because I like these facts when I know nothing about brewing beer.
I'm drinking
this. Cara malts are sweet, but Munich malts are dry.
Really?
Oh, okay. Apparently, I don't know, that's what a malt website said. So I've got no idea.
A malt website.
No, I just found out the malts are barley. Anyway.
Shush. Oh, you've ruined our credentials.
Beer expert here.
Yep.
So I've rabbited on about the wanky beer. But it's a nice beer. It's just a weird beer. I've wanked on about beer. Yeah. I haven't wanked on the beer.
No, you said you've rabbited on about the wanky beer.
I meant wanked on about the beer, but I haven't wanked on the beer.
No. Heaven forbid. That is the head, isn't it?
It does have a quite creamy head. But anyway, what are we even talking about? But do you see what I mean about
this
the fact that...
This is why we go over
like
an hour every time.
You can't classify this beer. It's like, it's not malty, it's not hoppy. It's what, but it is, but it's both. And it's like, it's not sweet, but it's not dry. Anyway.
Okay.
So, music.
Yeah, let me pour a bit more.
Something with a delicate sweetness, but with body.
Are we using the same lines, all three songs?
Something light that isn't particularly punchy, but not something with too many highs either. Pop.
Pop? Okay.
This is a pop beer.
A pop beer?
I reckon this is a pop beer, but not like bubblegum pop. It's like soulful pop. And this ain't bubblegum.
Who's soulful pop then?
Because, well, the thing is, right, is that like, so I was like, okay, well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to discover some new pop because I don't listen to pop. Do you listen to pop?
You do listen to pop.
No, I don't. Not as much as if I was a 14-year-old girl, maybe.
No, anyway. Those days are gone.
The problem is, right, I spent a good sort of half hour to an hour searching through new pop music, and Jesus Christ, there is some shit out there at the moment. Anyway, the one thing that came through is all of those voices ain't got no soul.
Could you not have picked something you know then?
So, yes. So I really, really hate to do this.
What, pick something you know?
But I'm going to have to go for Adele.
Okay.
She was like, and this is the thing, it was like I was listening through and some Adele came on. I think Hello came on whilst I was drinking this, and I was like, ooh, she's got the right amount of soul, but she's also a bit poppy. This is good. But then I didn't want to go for Hello because it doesn't suit the beer. The beer's not that morose. Pale Adele. So I did try and find someone cooler who would fit the... Yeah, but she's a bit mainstream, isn't she? It's like choosing Ed Sheeran to pump up your podcast. Oh, now I can tag him.
You're going to tag Adele in this.
So her voice just rounds this beer off beautifully.
Okay.
So this is off her latest album, 25. So this
you know
is...
she's married now.
There you go. This is Adele.
There you go. That's the
good
Adele
bit of trivia.
Yeah.
This is Adele with When We Were Young.
Everybody loves the things you do, from the way you talk to the way you move. Everybody here is watching you, 'cause you feel like home, you're like a dream come true. But if by chance you're here alone, can I have a moment before I go? 'Cause I've been by myself all night long, hoping you're someone I used to know. You look like a movie, you sound like a song. My God, this reminds me of when we were young. Just like a song. I was so scared to face my fears. Nobody told me that you'd be here. And I swear you like a song. When we were young, like a movie. It was just like a song. My God, this reminds me.
So,
for me, that made that brought out the maltiness a bit more, the sweetness.
Yeah, the barley brought out the barley.
Yeah.
I thought that basically I was saying when it first started that I tasted it, and with the music, it's basically just turned it into a mild. But it does, it sort of balances out everything in there. I thought that especially the quieter bits at the beginning.
But it is a well-balanced beer.
It is. It's a nice beer. And you know what? Adele's a good singer. I'm turning into a dad.
You are a dad. In fact, you are a dad. I'm not.
Yeah. Would you call me middle-aged? I don't know.
Absolutely. Because you're going to die at 45.
Does that mean you think I'm 22? Oh, thanks, Andrew.
Middle-aged is a range. It's a lifestyle.
Okay, so you, did I do better than with Clock Opera?
That's fairly good. I like that. I can see where you're coming from.
Okay, but, you know, since Adele warbled on for 5 minutes, you do only have 7 minutes left to talk about your beer and play the next song.
I can do that. That's awesome. So the song is about 6 minutes long.
Okay.
Hang on, I'm finishing the rest of this pale ale.
Okay, well, give me some feedback.
On the pale ale? Oh, excuse me.
I mean, ideally about the matching of the song, because I didn't actually brew this beer.
No. I think it was well matched. I think, as I said, I took several sips as that was playing, and for me, rightly or wrongly, it brought out the sweetness more.
Good job.
It already is quite a rounded, complete beer. That's what it did.
Good.
So that's a good choice.
Good.
You could have picked a better Adele song. Or did you deliberately pick that for the qualities of that song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think this is amateur hour?
No. You could have said Adele. Anything by Adele would go with this.
But when you've got an artist with such artistic range as Adele, you can't just say that.
No, of course you can't. In fact,
that wouldn't have paired nicely with Rumour Has It, would it? Would it, Andrew? It's not really a Chasing Pavement song, is it? Beer.
I'm thinking those songs through in my head now.
It's not, I mean, it could be a Rolling in the Deep beer. Who knows?
Who knows? Who will
But know? Is this beer someone like you?
Yeah.
Is it?
It's rounded.
Is it?
It's sophisticated.
So, no, I did. I chose that beer, and by the way, I got it wrong. It was a single. It's got a nice picture of her as like an 8-year-old on the cover.
Oh, now you sound like a perv. You've done it again, haven't you?
Jesus, I didn't say anything.
You're just admiring a photo of a young girl.
It's Adele.
Okay, you tell that to the judge.
Okay.
Yes, my lord, there were photos on my computer of young children.
On that note.
And they all were Adele.
On that note. On that note, let's move on to beer number four. So, beer number four.
Ugh. Did you want to talk about Tickety Fuse? Okay,
Ken, if you want to.
All right, the thing I have to mention is that they've got a Vimto Stout lined up.
They also have a Cherry Cola beer, which does sound quite intriguing.
Yeah.
And quite a few tea and biscuits.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? As a man who can put away half a pack of rich tea with every cup of tea, I'm a big fan of a tea and biscuit beer.
I wonder how you do
so, you know, tickety brews. If you want to send us any more, go for it.
Is it a biscuity malt with a tea in the infusion? A tea infusion with a biscuity malt?
Who knows, but I'm opening beer number four.
Which is the Double.
The Double.
Double or double?
Double.
Tell me how you pronounce this.
Double.
Do you pretend you're continental and say Double?
Or Double.
Do you just go, yeah, it's a double.
But double what?
Double. Well.
It's not a dipper, is it?
No, it's a double style beer, Belgian beer.
Is it Trappist?
It is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
I know something. Which means that it's brewed by nuns in the hills of Switzerland.
Or monks.
In monasteries. In Belgium.
In Belgium.
Okay.
Okay, you're expecting a bit of spiciness in here. But you've got the dark candy syrup in it.
What's the... What makes a Double?
It's the style. So who knows?
But why is it Double?
Why it was?
Is it because it's double?
Essentially, it's a mark of the alcohol content. So you know,
does double what you normally have,
and a quadruple. So they'll go up and up and up. So it does denote the alcohol.
Are you suggesting that Trappist monks were the original BrewDog? It's constantly going for higher and higher alcohol content until they finally got to the tactical nuclear...
Thermonuclear penguin.
Tactical nuclear hubel.
Yep.
The dodeca hubel.
Sorry, I'm just admiring the beer.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So you were saying spicy notes.
There should be spicy notes, but you get sugar syrup, candy syrup... made from beets added to this. Sorry, I'm sitting away from the mic. It's like I'm at the other end of the road.
Yeah. People were wondering where you'd gone.
I'm lounging on my chair. I'm giving full vent to my stomach.
Ooh, 100% caramel and sugar syrup in that. Like, and by caramel, I mean burnt sugar.
Ah, interesting. So shall I read out about candy sugar? So candy sugar, or candy syrup, which is in here. Yeah. Candy sugar is a Belgian sugar commonly used in brewing, especially in stronger Belgian beers such as Double and Triple. Chemically, it is an unrefined sugar beet, which has an object to the Maillard reaction. Do you know what the Maillard reaction is?
The Maillard reaction?
Or was it Maillard?
The Maillard reaction, which is to do with... I do know about this because I was watching a great program about science and food, and they were talking about to do with when you're cooking meat.
Yep.
And that's what happens, the Maillard reaction.
Well, I think anything where you get food browning, whether it's baking and it's pastry and it's bread, or it's roasting, or any sort of caramelization that you get before you burn.
Yep.
Yeah, that reaction, you get across heaps of foodstuffs. That's what you're getting in here with this sugar syrup.
Yeah.
You're getting hints of that.
So it's burnt sugar.
I said before you get to burn. Before you get to burn. It's not burnt.
It's like seared sugar.
Yeah, it's like
this is like the medium rare version of sugar.
Yeah. And I think it works. It's nice. It's not too cloying. It's not too cloying, and it's not, in fact, I think the bottle describes this as surprisingly light, and it is for something that's 6.7%.
This is almost mead like.
Is that because you're getting sweetness?
I think it's because I'm four beers in, to be honest.
It is. It's a struggle, but we do it every month.
We do it because we love it.
We do it because we love it. So what description? So the one I poured at home before this was so lively. It foamed right up in the glass. Now these ones have settled a little bit, so they're a bit more normal looking.
Just like your wife in this. What? And go
that's your punchline for everything, isn't it?
It is. That's all I've got. I'm Australian.
Okay. Dark brown.
It's either that or casual racism.
As opposed to formal racism. Dark brown colour that you'd expect. There was a head on it, but it's dissipating now. What's the phrase? So, and are you getting a hint of chocolate when you smell it? Can you smell chocolate on that?
I said I can smell caramel, but...
get chocolate? Maybe. I definitely get a chocolate. When I think of a chocolate stout, I'm getting some of that.
You're right. I mean, this podcast has not had enough sniffing, so let's go. Oh, yeah, chocolate.
You just sound like one of them footballers that snots out your side of your nose. Okay, so taste. Dark fruits. Dark fruits, yeah. Okay.
Strongbow.
Malty. No, not strongbow. Dark you're thinking, you have to think raisins, cherries, dates, and, yeah, prunes, that sort of darky fruitness.
Sure.
Yeah? No?
Yep.
Are you agreeing or are you just nodding?
Yep.
Malty sweetness, but not sickly or cloying. Slight hint of bitterness. Licorice hints in there? My imagination?
Yeah.
Okay. A little bit treacly, lively on the tongue. And the phrase I picked up this week, my phrase of the week, prickling carbonation. Prickling carbonation.
It's like a cat's tongue of carbonation.
Prickling carbonation.
Prickling carbonation. Especially when you say it like that. When you say it like you are a librarian or like somebody who's really enthusiastic about trains.
Yeah.
Prickling carbonation.
Although I think when I... This has settled much more than the one I was drinking at home. It was... The one I had at home really was explosive. And that's just the beer.
A night out on this probably would be quite explosive.
You couldn't do a night out on this, not at 6.7. It's lovely. I like this. It's rich.
Was that your expert opinion?
No, it's rich.
Lovely.
It's rich.
Like this.
I was almost said fruitcake, but it's not quite a fruitcakey beer.
Okay.
Hmm.
Okay, so you're done saying words now.
Yeah, so did say words. So what on earth could I have picked that goes with this?
Something fruity.
What on earth?
Fruitcake.
Okay.
Lively on the tongue. So something with prickly. How did you match, music-wise, prickly carbonation?
Prickly carbonation.
Something that when you pour it out musically has a massive head.
Right, so if you want to bring out the sweetness in a beer, if you want to enhance the sweetness, and this is quite sweet, you go for your high tones.
Yep. Depends if they're dissonant or not. But anyway, go on.
Okay, well, they're not
dissonant. Get your theory. Yep.
And then I thought, there's darkness. Do I want a dark song? Some sort of dark song in there.
What, a bit of Nick Cave?
Oh, look, I'm going to put my notes down now and just ad-lib.
Okay. Oh, he's gone off script, people.
So when I was trying to choose a beer, I was obviously conscious of, not obviously, but I had a gig last night.
Okay.
So that band was uppermost in my mind a little bit. Yeah. And that band was Elbow.
How boring.
Oh, how can you not like Elbow? Oh. I think if I was ever going to be a front man of a band, I want to be Guy Garvey.
Oh, Guy Garvey. I will not detract from that because Guy Garvey is one of the coolest people on the planet, but mostly because of his Six Music DJ.
No, he is an awesome frontman. He's phenomenal.
Do you know what?
He does the job...
Elbow are like the middle-aged version of Coldplay.
Oh, shush, they're nothing like it.
Just...
Well, I'm picking an Elbow song.
Oh, God.
How can you say that? And it's got a Manchester connection.
Mm. Good job, Andrew.
Yeah, you see?
Yeah.
That only came to me afterwards, after I decided I was picking Elbow.
Could have picked a good Manchester band.
So,
you know, Joy Division.
I
Man in the Echo.
Yeah, but that doesn't go with this. So you can either pick a song, you've got two choices of song. Do you want the song that I like?
Aren't the Smiths from Manchester?
They are. Oh, I'm saving the Smiths for a different episode.
Okay.
You can only play a band once, can't you?
Yeah.
So
I'm
choosing Elbow now.
Probably would have preferred it if you played Coldplay. Go on.
It was Guy Garvey's birthday yesterday. You should be singing him happy birthday.
Oh, I'm sorry, Guy Garvey. It's such a shame that you picked a shit band to be a frontman of.
That's so harsh. You're alienating all of our listener.
You know what? I don't even know if I've ever listened to Elbow. I'm just...
Okay.
Keep going.
Do you want a song that makes me tear up?
Yes.
Or do you want a song that is nice, but...
You know what? You know what, listeners? I believe that this beer would go really well with some salty tears splashed into it, so... Okay,
yeah. All right, then. We're going to play Mirrorball, then.
Okay. So this is...
Elbow.
With Mirrorball.
Okay. sorry name has made it to the Fiji. I was looking for someone to complete me. Not anymore, dear. Everything has changed.
The trouble is, you are reacting to the fact you think you don't like Elbow.
I'm not, though, because that, to me, left me dead inside. It was like, you know what? I was drinking a nice beer until you played that song, Andrew.
That's particularly galling, because I really like that song.
Mm. Made you cry.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you cry again.
You should listen to the lyrics. They're very poignant. I love Elbow. They have a forceful optimism to their songs.
Yeah, I felt like I wanted to be... I don't know, like middle-aged woman in a stadium gig or something. That's what that made me feel like. It made me feel like, you know, where I wanted to be. I wanted to be right in the center of the road, middle of the road.
You're dismissing the song. You didn't enter into the spirit.
It's because it's a shit song.
Oh yeah, no, okay. I think that's a good match.
You know, we'll fix you. That's what it was like.
Nothing wrong with a bit of Coldplay.
That's it. Oh, God.
Actually, there's a lot wrong with Coldplay, but...
you know what? Like, I accept that, like, I am a big fan of Ed Sheeran, right?
Yeah, you see, and you criticise
he's great.
This.
Wow. I even accept
Do you know who he wrote a song with recently?
The lyrical brilliance of Taylor Swift.
Okay.
But Elbow?
Yeah.
No.
Phenomenal band.
No.
Well, Guy, I apologise on behalf of Luke. You know, it's not what he says.
I'm sorry, I actually think Guy, as I said, Guy Garvey's an awesome guy. I just, like...
You just hate his band and his lyrics and his singing style and, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he listened to this, he'd probably hate me, wouldn't he?
He's a beer drinker, you know. I was going to ask him on this. He's not coming on this now.
No, it's okay, because you know what? It'd be a bit pretentious if he came on and chose his own songs, so it's probably fine. He's probably the safest guest that we could ever get, because he'd never pick Elbow. But he might pick Coldplay.
Oh, you're so outrageously bad on this. Okay, on that note, because we're obviously going to disagree on this, and it's a shame, I would like to send beers out to everyone that's listening so they can judge for themselves and know that I'm right.
Okay, but if anybody does want to listen along, drink along with us, what we'll do is before this goes out, so you're listening to it's like in the past, and then this will be in the future. So Tickety Brews, we'll post details about them so you can maybe get them in hand before listening.
Yeah.
Because they are available in all good beer online shops. And that is time to wrap it up, folks.
I'm trapped in this room with you. I am trapped.
So, coming up soon, we're very excited because
next month, hopefully, we've got Orbit.
Yeah, so we're heading down to Orbit Brewery down in London.
Yeah,
we're heading down to their brewery to record with some of their brewers, which will be very exciting.
Yep.
And then later on in the year, we've got some exciting things lined up. So we've got the.
Do you want to jinx it by saying
I'm going to say what it is, and then I'm going to have to edit it out later. But the inimitable, is that the right word? The unfathomable. I don't know. It's Pete Brown, the man behind the whole concept. The reason we exist. The reason you're listening to us, listeners,
that's going to be cool.
Yeah. So he's going to come on. We might even get a real studio to do that. And then loads of other exciting guests coming up over the next 6 months.
I know. We're talking to lots of people. And equally, if anyone brews out there. And would like to do this because it is fun and we certainly enjoy having guests. I think it adds an extra element.
It just it means that it's not just me.
Us and you belching in a room together.
Okay. On that belch. On that belch. Shall we wrap it up?
Yeah, that's a jeune.
We're just gonna finish shrinking our doubles.
Okay.
Doobles.
Our doubles.
Doobles. Until next month.
Yeah, cheers, Tickety Brew. That was fun.
Yeah, it's been good. I have been Luke.
I have been and still am and will forevermore be Andrew.
Okay, and see you next month. You won't always be Andrew.
I will be. Well, I'd be Gloria at some point on weekends.